Hi everyone, sorry about that. Welcome back to Fade Tales. This is if you're new, where we dive deep into the stories of creatures on the edge of survival, and we try to like voice their stories and all that. I'm your host Zoya, and today we're venturing into the vast blue wilderness again of the ocean, open ocean, to meet a predator once revered but now is vanishing. They're called the oceanic white tip shark. So sit back, relax, whatever you do, if you listen to this while you study, if you just listen to this for education, grab a cocoa, lay back, tuck in your blanket, and let's get into it. Hello, 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 everybody. Welcome back to Fade Tales. I'm Zoya, and yeah, we're going into the oceanic white tip shark. So let's get started. Imagine the open ocean, a seemingly endless expanse of blue. For centuries, sailors feared and respected the creature that patrolled these waters, a shark known for its distinctive white-tipped fins and relentless curiosity. The oceanic white tip, or known scientifically, Carcharhinus longimanus. I hope I pronounced that right. I probably butchered that. They were a master of the deep, a ghost of the open sea. But today, it's a ghost in a different sense. It's fading from our oceans at an alarming rate. Now, let's start with the basics. What makes the oceanic white tip so unique? Well, as its name suggests, its most striking feature is those rounded white-tipped fins. They're like beacons in the blue, visible even murky waters. These sharks are built for open ocean. They have long, broad pectoral fins that allow them to glide effortlessly, conserving energy as they patrol vast distances. They're also relatively slow swimmers, which might seem counterintuitive for a predator, but their strategy is different. They rely on patience and persistence. Okay, It's historically, the white oceanic white tips were incredibly abundant. They were often the first sharks encountered by shipwreck survivors, earning them a reputation as dangerous scavengers. But here's the thing. They weren't necessarily aggressive in a sense. They were opportunistic. They were simply doing what they have evolved to do, investigate anything floating in their territory. So I'm going to talk about, like, think of, like, story. We're going to think of stories from World War II now. It may seem, it's not surprising why you think of World War II, but hold on. So shipwrecked sailors adrift for days often reported encounters with these sharks. The USS Indianapolis tragedy, in particular, brought the oceanic white tip into the public consciousness. While the sharks weren't the primary cause of death, their presence undoubtedly added to the horrific ordeal. These sharks were simply responding to an unusual concentration of food in their natural habitat. So, what happened to them? What happened to them if they were so this once abundant apex predator became so vulnerable? The answer is overfishing. The oceanic white tip's slow reproductive rate and preference for open ocean make it particularly susceptible to long line fishing, a method that uses miles of baited hooks. These sharks are often caught as bycatch, unintended victims of fishing operations targeting other species, like tuna and swordfish. The demand for shark fins driven by Asian fin soup market also has played a devastating role as well. Thinning, the practice of removing a shark's fin and discarding the body, is a cruel and wasteful practice. Oceanic white tips with the large distinctive fins are a particularly target. Now, I think I've talked about shark fin soup before. I'm not sure if I did on this channel, or maybe I'm thinking of my club that I'm a part of. So what is going on is the shark fin soup is like a really popular dish in Southeast Asia. It go for like hundreds of thousands of dollars just for one bowl, and it's kind of sad. And like sometimes it is allowed, but only for certain types of sharks. But sad, and like it is part of like the trafficking that people are trying to put in. And I remember watching on a National Geographic of an airport border security. They had like this massive like raid and like discovery of like hundreds of like shark fins, just shark fins. And like they laid them all over the floor. They were like took over the whole floor space. It was brutal. Anyway, let's get back to the rest of the podcast, I guess, or script I have. Beyond direct fishing pressure, the oceanic white tip faces other threats. Climate change is altering ocean temperatures and current, potentially impacting their prey, a distribution, and migration patterns. Pollution, particularly plastic pollution, poses another significant risk. These sharks, like many marine animals, can ingest plastic debris, mistaking it for food. The decline of the oceanic white tip has far-reaching consequences for the entire open ocean ecosystem. As apex predators, they play a crucial role in maintaining balance, regulating populations of other species. Their disappearance disrupts the delicate web of life, potentially leading to cascading effects that are still not fully understood. So, what can be done by us? What can be done, actually? Conservation efforts are underway, though, don't worry. But they face significant challenges. International corporations is essential to regulate the fishing practices and protect the sharks in international waters. Marine protected areas where fishing is restricted can provide safe havens for oceanic white tips and other marine life. Education is and awareness is also crucial. They're both crucial. We need to shift public's perspectives. We need to shift the public's perception of sharks, moving away from the Jaws stereotype and recognizing their vital role in ocean ecosystems. Supporting sustainable seafood choices and reducing our consumption of products that contribute to shark finning are also important steps. So I'm just going to take a moment to reflect, because I know this is like a last minute script that I had to write, because I kind of wanted to talk about an extinct animal today, but I decided to like go with the shark for them, because to me, sharks, I definitely was one of the people who had the shark stereotype in mind, because my dad at a very, very young age, but mind you, showed me Jaws and I was scarred for life. But then I kind of was into an animal lover, and then I learned not to fear the sharks, because sharks, even though they seem carnivorous, they are actually quite unique creatures and are essential for like the ocean. For me, I feel like with the shark, white tip shark in particular, it's definitely an emotional experience, because something that you think is like invincible is still capable of being extinct, of facing extinction, and we need to prevent that. Like, it's kind of like heartbreaking to me. And with the Jaws stereotype, it's not true, let me tell you, because there's been scientific study, like, or to be honest, it's actually Mark Rober, if you guys don't know. But yeah, there's a YouTuber who's a scientist physicist guy. He did an experiment a while back during the pandemic about sharks and the stereotype, and his findings with like the fish blood, human blood, and just regular salt water almost like 200 sharks went to the fish blood board, and then like one or two just went to, out of curiosity, to the human blood board. And it was kind of like, it's like, yeah, you see, because they learned this, and like, I guess human, and with this, like, with the human, like, stories of being eaten by sharks, I feel like it's just, those are specific types of sharks that are, they only do whatever, they don't, like, actually focus on, like, the fish, they just look for something in the water, and sometimes it can be, like, a seal, like, you can look like a seal when you're on a surfboard in the water. It kind of, like, is, like, a weird illusion thing. But, yeah, there's that. With other sharks, there's a lot of sharks that are endangered, surprisingly. Like, it's not just, I had a hard, time, like, choosing this topic today. Because, like, I wanted to talk about sharks, but you have to think which type of shark you want to talk about. Like, even the hammerhead shark, like, surprisingly, like, three different types of hammerhead sharks are, like, being extinct as well. And, like, a nurse shark is also extinct as well. Not extinct, endangered. Sorry, three types of hammerhead sharks are endangered. And also, like, and also a nurse shark, too. And it's kind of surprising, like, to me, like, so many of our... You hear so many stories of these, like, big, like, giant sharks, like... You see documentaries recently. I'm watching documentaries like 100% of the time. Like that, like these great white shark, not great white sharks, hammerhead sharks can like reach up to like 20 feet long or something like that. And it's like crazy to like me, like that you can, these creatures are going extinct if we don't stop it. And like, why do we have to live in a world like this when nature is like something a part of us and we are ruining it? Like, we're ruining the lives of like many innocent creatures. We think that like they don't have feelings, but like many are intelligent creatures and do have feelings. Like, for me, I feel like we should, I don't know what to feel, like, to be honest, actually. Like, animals are like one of my comforts because I grew up with like Zabumafu and like all that. Like, I grew up loving animals, so it kind of hurts to see that these amazing creatures are being threatened with extinction. I want to take a time of silence, like, just to like for you guys to think that like so many of the creatures that you know are actually facing are endangered. I'm just gonna take a deep quiet breath for a second because I'm also thirsty. Give me a second. Yeah, I'm back, sorry. Ramadan Mubarak to all my fellow Muslims out there. And yeah, it's kind of I've returned to like calming thing. It's like just like watching like during Ramadan and watching all these documentaries. It's kind of like hurting, like, to see all these endangered animals that are being hurt. I don't normally get too emotional in these podcasts. I normally just follow skip the script and stick to it. But I feel like today I just want to talk about it as much as I can, cause the oceanic white tip is just one of many shark species that are like going extinct. I don't know if you guys like know how it looks, but like I did, cause I didn't describe it, but yeah, they're I guess I could say, like, with the oceanic in the name, they're found in mostly tropical and subtropical oceans in the world, and they live offshore in deep water but spend most of their time in the upper part of the water column near the surface. This as well, like, and also the population status is like also staggering. Like, if I read like these quotes, like, For example, the oceanic white tip has declined by approximately 80 to 95% across the Pacific Ocean since the mid-1990s. And substantial abundance declines have also been estimated for the Atlantic Ocean, including an 88% decline in the Gulf of America, which was also known as the Gulf of Mexico. This is all because of commercial fishing, you guys. It's like really hard for it to recover because of this. I guess I can. It just hurts me. And I guess I can tell you their diet. Diet consists of like sport fish, which is like tuna and marlin, seabirds, often other sharks sometimes, and rays, and marine mammals, and all, even garbage, because we humans have polluted the ocean because and they have to eat garbage. Oh, what a lovely day. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm just really sad today. I don't know why I'm sad today. Maybe it's because I'm... I don't know. I'm just searching out fun facts to tell you guys. Oh, here we go. Bunch of fun facts. Did you know white tip sharks need to be on the move, literally? Actually, this is kind of obvious. And like some other sharks, they can't pump water over their gills, so they need to keep swimming. So oxygen fills the seawater can wash over them. If they stop swimming, oceanic sharks can't breathe. That's like kind of normal for some sharks, or like the great white, for example. Like if they stop swimming, they can't breathe, so they have to keep on swimming. Just keep swimming, just keep swimming, 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 swimming. another fun fact, if this is a fast fact, female oceanic white tips are typically larger than males, and they can grow up to oceanic white tips can grow to more than 11 feet. Wow. let's see, what other facts I can tell you? Oh, they actually sometimes act like dogs. Oh, that's fun. I don't know if this is true or not, but... apparently another popular nickname for the shark is sea dogs, because they often exhibit dog-like behaviors. When an oceanic white-tip shark finds something interesting, it will approach cautiously and will retreat if it feels threatened. Then, like dogs, they will wait for the perfect opportunity to return and sneak attack. They also are known to follow ships the way a dog will follow its master. I think I talked about this. Yeah. They also have like feeding frenzies, which is like they like turn like they hunt in packs, and like it's, I think you guys know what a feeding frenzy is. I don't really need to describe it. I told you about like they were like a lot were like blamed. Sorry, I told you they were blamed for a lot of shipwreck deaths because of they're opportunistic. I have more details in this than I had on my script. The first was in 1945 after warship the USS Indianapolis, which I told said was a torpedo. They were torpedoed. And the oceanic white-tip sharks attacked and potentially killed 800 soldiers because they were in the water. Another incident occurred in the same year, actually, when a steamship sunk outside the coast of South Africa, and the oceanic white-tip sharks were responsible for 1,000 passengers. Yeah, I guess what you can... see, but they didn't want to. They just opted to, like, they'd go with anything in the water. Jacques Cousteau. I think this guy's really familiar. Anyway, this guy was like the most famous oceanographer in the world. And he was once asked what species shark he found the most dangerous, and his response was the oceanic white tip shark. Is like the and noting like the occurrence of attacks on shipwreck survivors and their quick, agile group hunting skills. Though gray white sharks have a reputation for being the ferocious shark, Cousteau argues that it's because of the white tip sharks have killed more people more efficiently. They are much more dangerous. Yeah, and also. Yeah, I also told you about the high value for the meat. It's not even that much. And yeah, they're highly endangered, which I've mentioned before. Yay. All of these, like, fun facts are things I just already have in my script. I'm just trying to talk and, like, go for longer. just so I can give you guys more content instead of like 10 minutes of like me just doing a little script. I was talking like with my I went to like to the sisters tie-dye event for from MSA, and I was talking to my sisters about like this channel and this like show I have, and they were telling me, oh, you should do Rip Panda or you should do Sharks, and I was like, oh, I was gonna do like a Tasmanian, actually the like a, I'm not gonna spoil it for you, I was gonna do like an extinct animal, I was gonna do an extinct animal episode. But yeah, they were like, oh, you should do Shark, or you should do like Red Panda, and I chose Shark because I thought I did Red Panda before, but turns out I haven't. So next episode might be Red Panda, might be extinct animal, who knows. Anyway, I'm at like the 20 minute mark and I'm currently tired, and and as you all might be, it's like 4:36, but I'm like tired today because like I did not want to come. But anyway, get ready with the outro, guys. I know you guys all know it. And here we go. If I can actually get this on. Is this the right one? Oh, no, this is not the right one, I think. Yeah, here it is. Well, we have reached the end, everybody. the future of white tip sharks hang in the balance, but there's still hope. By working together, we can give these ghosts of the open ocean a chance to reclaim their rightful place in the marine world. So thank you for joining me on Faded Tales. Join us next time as we explore another endangered species, or even an extinct one as a special episode, and delve into their fascinating story. Until then, keep exploring, keep learning, and keep caring for our planet. Goodbye. See you all.